Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Dr. Soren Show, discussing health topics that matter to you. The views expressed on this show are those of Dr. Soren and his guest and do not represent the views of Blue Sky Broadcasting. Consult your doctor before making any changes.
Welcome. This is Dr. Soren, and we're excited about our show today. First segment, we're going to be talking to April Bennett, who is manager of the OR services at Boundary Community Hospital in Bonners Ferry, and we're going to be discussing the surgical services there at BCH. And second part of this show, we're excited to have Dr. Blake Ambridge, who's a neurological chiropractor and naturopathic doctor, and we're going to be talking about how we can improve our muscle coordination, mental acuity, and even help those with learning disabilities by understanding how our brains are wired, how the mind and body are connected. So stay tuned. We're excited about today's show. Welcome. This is Dr. Soren, and I'm talking today with April Bennett. She's the manager of surgical services at Boundary Community Hospital in Bonners Ferry. April, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So April, you used to be the surgery manager in Bonner General. How long were you here in Sandpoint?
I was in Sandpoint for 12 years. I started out there as a staff nurse and worked in the operating room for 6 years before I became a clinical supervisor and then became director of surgery, which I was for about 7 years.
7 years you were director?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting. And then just give me a little background. You're a nurse, and then you also went on and got your master's?
Yeah. Yes. I graduated nursing school when I was 40 and went right into the operating room. I knew that that's what I wanted to do. That was my passion.
So you've been in the operating room your whole life, professional nursing life.
I have worked acute care and ER too as well, cross-trained into those departments. But operating room is my passion, and that's where I spend the majority of my time. And like I said, I worked staff nurse for several years before I got into management, and I just really liked being able to take care of the people that actually take care of people and making sure that they're well taken care of so that they can stay healthy and they can provide care, really good care to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And so tell me now, let's go with Boundary Community Hospital. Tell me about the surgical services that you guys offer there for the people that live in Boundary County.
We're very small, but we offer, right now, we offer orthopedics and we offer endoscopy and general surgery. So we work 2 days a week on Wednesdays and Thursdays providing those services. Orthopedics, we have a full orthopedic services. We do total joints, total shoulders, total hips, total knees.
So pretty big surgeries.
Huge surgeries, yeah. We do arthroscopies, knees, shoulders, ACLs, everything clear down to carpal tunnels and trigger fingers.
So a lot of these surgeries can be done there locally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And our total joints, we have a full process that we go through with the patients. They consult with physical therapy and occupational therapy, get all their lab testing done. Everything is done prior to their surgery. And then we have Dr. Di Benedetto provides the service, but then Dr. Botkin, he takes care of them afterwards. So if we have somebody that has to do inpatient, because we will do inpatient surgeries as well for total shoulders and total hips. And so follow-up care is done by Dr. Botkin, and he's excellent. All of our patients have excellent outcomes. At this point, we have zero infection rate.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And that's got to be something to really make you feel safe.
Absolutely.
And you could be proud of as a hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, we're small, but we're mighty. We have a very great staff that's really competent. Our standard of care is, I feel, excellent, next to none. The girls that work in Central Sterile and work in sterilizing instruments, they're top-notch, and we just take really good care of our patients there. I wouldn't hesitate to have care there or have somebody in my family have care there. I feel that strongly about it.
Right. And that's exciting because I know you live in that community. You commuted to Sandpoint, but then you decided to just stay local.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really nice to be able to give back to the community that I live in and that I grew up in, that I have family
there. That's right. You're local from Bonner's Ferry.
Yeah. I moved there when I was in the third grade. So I've pretty much grown up there my whole life. My parents live there. I have siblings that live there. So it is, it's really, really nice to be able to give back to your community and provide great care to them.
That's wonderful. And so let's talk a little bit about general surgery. So you do endoscopies. These are the screening tests for colon cancer, things like that. So you do those. And then you also do general surgery?
We do. We do very small amount of general surgery right now. I feel in the future that we'll build more, but we do a lot of some skin lesion removals, hernia repair, simple stuff like that. Gallbladders, things like that, we don't do those at this time, but I feel like that's something that we can move up to. The majority that we do is endoscopy, upper and lower, and we do a lot of that. We do a lot of screening for the population of the community.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the patient population that you see.
Patient population, we see pretty much the broad spectrum. We don't do pediatrics, so realistically, anybody that is under 70 pounds or under 10 years old, we wouldn't do. We would send them out. But the rest of the population, we do. We see. It's really great because we are able to take care of them, do their procedures, and then both Dr. DiBenedetto and Dr. Canning have clinics in the hospital, so they're able to get their follow-up care done right at the hospital as well in those clinics after the procedures are done. So that way they don't have to travel out of Bonnersbury for really any of their care.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And that's really awesome for the community.
Oh, absolutely.
I know Bonnersbury has a varied community, but it's so nice to be able to stay in your own community to get your care. Tell us a little bit about the OR staff you have there.
We have a really great, competent OR staff. I have nurses that have been working in the operating room for years that are very competent at what they do. My scrub tech staff is next to none. They're very proficient at their job and just excellent care providers. Our anesthesia provider takes really great care of his patients, and I just feel very, very competent with them. Our pre- and post-op staff is next to none. Patients recover extremely well, and everybody is always just very, very grateful for the care that they've gotten, and we always get high regards to our staff.
Yeah, and you guys, you told me, did very well in all your surveys where you get the outside organizations that come in, survey.
Yeah, we've done really well on all of our surveys for our accreditation. All of our nurses, like my nurses in my pre- and post-op area, all have backgrounds in critical care, you know, ER, ICU, and so they provide excellent care. We just, all the way around, the hospital has an extremely good staff. And it's a great facility.
Well, it isn't wonderful because Bonnersbury is a very special town.
I agree.
My parents live there, and it's just reassuring and nice to know that there's a great facility that can take care of the majority of their health needs.
Absolutely.
And keep people there locally. How has COVID affected your hospital?
COVID has affected the hospital in, we did shut down surgical services for about a 6-week period of time. At that time, we suspended all orthopedic surgeries, and we were only doing endoscopy for people that were symptomatic. As we've built back, we kind of built back in stages where we were only taking the healthiest of the healthy, doing procedures that were not inpatient, just strictly outpatient. As we've progressed now, all of our patients get COVID testing the day before. Mm-hmm. So we require them to come in the evening before their surgery, be tested for COVID, and then we ask them to self-quarantine, go home, and then come back in the morning for their procedure. All of our staff members are screened every morning. We do symptom screening and temperature checks every day when we check in. Wearing masks universally throughout the hospital is highly encouraged. Mm-hmm. We are kind of an exceptional facility because we do have an extended care facility attached to us. Mm-hmm. And so we have a very vulnerable population.
And for people who don't know, what's an extended care facility?
It is like an elderly care facility. People who need nursing round the clock that are the geriatric population that can no longer take care of themselves.
Like a nursing home.
Like a nursing home, yes, yes. And so they are very vulnerable through this whole COVID outbreak. And so with us being attached to them, we have to be diligent in what we do as well. And so we have to make sure that we're very diligent in screening who comes in. We've limited visitation. And if somebody does come in for visitation, they are screened. We practice social distancing. We require them to wear masks. And with our ER department, everybody there, they are very diligent about wearing their N95s, hair covering, you know, change into scrubs there. Everybody showers before they go home and leaves out of a different entrance so that they make sure they don't take anything with them back to their home. So the hospital overall is really doing everything that they can.
That's incredible. You guys have a lot of things in place. So that's good to hear. And even better news is that so far you've had zero cases.
Yes. So far as of yesterday, I was in a COVID task force meeting and they had let us know that to date we had had no lab confirmed cases of COVID in Boundary County.
So we're pre-recording this, but as of the 26th of June, you've had no cases.
No lab confirmed cases. That's right.
That's wonderful to hear. Well, April, I really appreciate you coming out and talking to us. I think what you guys are doing there is awesome. I think that's a great facility. And like I said, Bonner's Ferry has a special place in my heart.
Mine too.
Because, my family there, and we just love Boundary County. We bought a cabin up there years ago. So anyway, thank you for what you're doing and helping keep the population there safe and helping them be able to get their health care done in their local community.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Welcome to the Dr. Soren Show. Dr. Ambridge, thank you so much for being here. Really great to have you on again.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So let's just talk, because I've had a lot of fun. I'm in pain management. You're a neurological chiropractor. So just in a nutshell, explain to me how that's different than a regular chiropractor, and you've got a naturopathic degree. So let's just talk about that real quick so I can get a better understanding of how you think of the world.
Well, most of it is on looking at the foundation of what the nervous system is doing to control function in the body. So most things are reflected or mirrored in the body when nervous system is not integrating fully. Mm-hmm. So spinal problems, long-term degenerative issues, instability, sports injuries, some things are just pure trauma, but many of the things we actually suffer the most from are like chronic long-term issues. Mm-hmm. So things like coordination, things like reflexes, because of our brain is really running the show. Mm-hmm. And so we have consciousness, and then we have non-volitional or non-consciousness. So as that's happening, these pieces are not in our conscious control. So as we do that, meaning, for example, conscious mind processes roughly 2,000 bits per second. Non-conscious does 400 billion bits per second, okay? So it's all in this background, backstage stuff that's happening. So these reflexes in our reflexive system, they're supposed to be running a certain way. And if they are not any longer, or maybe they never were, they lead into a dysfunctioning pattern. And it may not be anything we might identify. So you might have a kid who trips a lot, catches that right foot all the time, he's stubbing his toe. Well, there's developmental things. Maybe he's gonna grow out of that.
You know? And you might just label it, he's just not our coordinated child.
Right, and developmental stages, they exist, right? So you know, it's a little confusing. But for example, my own son, you know, you're supposed to be walking at 12 months old, not 15 months old, not 9 months old, 12 months old. Well, he wasn't walking at 12 months old. So at 13 months, he still wasn't walking. He would crawl around, he'd stand up, hold on furniture. At 13 and a half, he wasn't. So I'm watching it. I'd already been helping his system because he had some spinal curvatures at birth. I felt them right away. Those were gone. but he still was looking, watching, wishing he could walk, but he'd go to crawling. I did some things from a certain direction, activated some things neurologically. I put him to bed that night. And the next morning he got up and he was walking. So his vestibular system could not dial up fully. So
you're helping make those connections.
Correct.
And that's one of the things that I wanted to cover here, because I want to cover today our goal, three things. Let's talk about muscle coordination, which is what you're describing here. I'd like to talk about also mental acuity, which is our brains are processing so much info all the time and how we're going to, we can improve that. And learning disabilities. This is my great doctor writing. And I want to talk about learning disabilities, which is interesting because sometimes we may label it as a learning disability because things aren't connecting, but you help people connect those things. So looking forward to talking about all those things. So let's just jump right into it. So let's talk about, you were telling the story of your son here. So,
well, most people don't really realize that there's a feedback mechanism that has to happen in the nervous system. You know, we just take it for granted. Now that we have computers, we kind of understand this concept better because we key something in, the computer processes. Computers have been around long enough that we remember, you know, the 286 processor versus what we have now,
right,
and the speed, and kids like to play video games and download time. Well, it's too slow. I can't play my game fast enough. The internet's not good enough. So we have a lot of metaphors or analogies that but this is how a brain works, but it's way more complex than a computer. And I don't profess to know everything. It's just that in the 90s, we started moving into the brain and understanding more how brain worked. We didn't think brain could change, that it could do anything. If you had an injury, let's say we had a traumatic brain injury, a concussion, somebody's playing on the football field or soccer game or lacrosse game or some other event, maybe an auto accident. And so now we struggle, and now our brain's not doing what it was doing. Now what happened to that? Okay, so integration has been stifled or shut down to a degree, and now we're not able to make connections and access pieces that we had before. So what are we going to do about that? So typically people just wait around till headaches are gone and whatever. Oh, you still have this concussion, you can't play your sport, or you can't go to school yet, or whatever. And hopefully over time things improve, but that's not necessarily all we can do. There's lots of things we can do to get a brain to connect. But back to the movement coordination concept, let's say you're generally healthy, but your kid is, they might say, well, I kind of bump into things a lot. I'm a little less coordinated. That kid who really wants to be a great athlete, but it's just tough for him, you know, his timing when he's swinging a bat, or maybe when he's passing a ball, or he goes to kick a soccer ball. So these things are all based on feedback. So brain has to take input in, process it, and effectuate something by output. So that input is based on a lot of factors that people don't really realize. And then the output is based on certain pieces. And a lot of these things are based on cerebellar function and vestibular functions. So there's some easy tests people could do at home too and find out, right? They could just put their feet together and close their eyes. See how stable they are. If they're wobbling around, okay, that's struggling. They could do little dyspraxia type movements with their hands, or they could touch things with a certain speed, a randomness, and you'll see whether you're really great at that or not.
Yeah, I know to those that are listening, you know, when you go from your nose to the finger, and then the provider keeps moving the finger, so you're seeing where somebody with
might have terminal tremor. They may hesitate. They get apprehensive when they get towards a target, or they may have a tremor, which is all cerebellar based. Mm-hmm. So now we already have
Parkinson's
signs.
Is a disease that you think about where they
well, Parkinson's, you know, yeah. Well, you have tremor with Parkinson's, and it becomes a basal ganglia issue, but it really originates in midbrain with the red nucleus, right? So this is all the gating mechanism through basal ganglia. So tremors and all of that is affecting that, but it originates different places. Sometimes it's cerebellum, sometimes it's root is the red nucleus. And that's another topic, but basically they're all great examples of that information really precisely being executed and quickly. So take, for example, if you step on a tack or some sharp rock and you're barefoot, well, you have a whole response to that. you didn't have to have a conversation, decision-making time. It's immediate, your reflex. If your reflexes are dulling and weakening, well, now we have a longer process before you come off of that. People can step on an uneven sidewalk or in some hole in the ground. And if we're an athlete's running on a field, and but a great athlete that has a great system, yeah, that field may not be level, but their system's picking up on all of that. If it's sluggish, they're going to start to roll an ankle, and the feedback timing is too slow. It's now you're going to roll the ankle. Now you've sprained it, but your brain is supposed to effectuate a whole stability factor.
And that's one reason, 20 years old, you pull something off, but you try to do it when you're 40, 50, 60, and you may not quite be as you were in your glory days.
Yeah, it's different.
Well, we've got to take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll talk to Dr. Ambridge about how he goes about treating these problems. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We're back. We're talking to Dr. Ambridge today about his approach. And Dr. Ambridge, tell me about how you go about treating it. We've talked a little bit about the problem, but let's talk about how you go about treating it.
I tailor treatment to everybody's individual. Mm-hmm. So it may not always appear that way, but really it's about determining where the breakdown is. Mm-hmm. And these are in pathways. And if you're, if you're not careful about it, you may not make it better. You may just make it a little weaker. So you have to be precise about what you're doing. So it's taking systems and giving feedback. So I do that lots of different ways. Sometimes I may use vestibular exercises where somebody's turning or spinning, or they might be on a trampoline. Mm-hmm. I may use fast stretch or movement of joints, because joints and muscles are 96% of the feedback mechanism into these systems. Mm-hmm. So that's why movement is powerful. So I can use color, light, sound, vestibular activity, which could be exercises, and stretch, muscle, joint, that kind of thing, to give feedback.
To help improve and make those connections in your brain.
Right, and I pick it, directing it to that. Mm-hmm. Pathway that's kind of weak. So it's kind of like, okay, well, I have a weak right bicep, so I'm going to exercise my right bicep. But in nervous system, you have to activate the frequency of firing. Mm-hmm. So it's not about muscle fibers conditioning, it's about nerve pathways having a frequency of activation. And as it does, it's very healthy. As it weakens, then it atrophies. So let's take tremor, because you brought that up. Mm-hmm. So we all have a tremor. Mm-hmm. That's actually how movement is executed. Most people wouldn't know that. It's modulated, and you have a tremor. But if it's doing really well, you don't see a tremor. Mm-hmm. But basically, when you start seeing a tremor, that means it's breaking down and slowing down. Our tremor is so fast in its speed and small in its amplitude, you can't see it with the naked eye. Mm-hmm. So when you start seeing a tremor, that means it's already been breaking down, and now you're not modulating it well, and it's getting slow and big amplitude, and now you're seeing it. So we activate those pathways. In my assessment, I'm looking to see, well, what's the viability of the tissue? Can the tissue respond? Can it answer me? Can it hold on to something? Can it move to a different place? And when it can, then we design a treatment plan that activates and helps them rehabilitate that.
Yeah, so as you were talking about this, I was thinking there's a number of different people that could potentially benefit. One is like kids that may be delayed in their physical development, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So another one, have you treated athletes that want to improve, that may be very good but want to be even better because that may give them an edge?
Yeah, I've done quite a bit of work with that. So athletes sometimes, and of course they may have injuries and come in, but many times I've had athletes that were referred in because they're just trying to be on top of their game, whatever that game is, whether it's mm-hmm. a track athlete, a football player. I've treated many successful athletes that were, state champions and things, whatever. But basically, their reflexes are lightning. So most people know what it's like to be in the zone. Mm-hmm. If you've ever done sports or even music, when you're dialed in and it just flows. And you can't hardly, you could try and you still wouldn't make a mistake.
There's a video game when it said, he's on fire. When somebody's on fire, they're in the zone. They hit every shot.
Yeah, they're not missing, right?
Yeah.
So that is actually the capacity of our system. It's just that being in the zone for most people is a kind of a infrequent or rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it really should be more the norm. And it should be infrequent that we're out of the zone, okay? So anyway, we take those reflexes. I also done, it's a program called Interactive Metronome. It's a software program that you spend several hours, about 10 to 12 hours, training brain for reflexes. And it's pretty amazing. I mean,
wow.
I did it myself, and you know, a pen dropping off the table, you know, things like that. I didn't know. I did the training, and then with my charts back in the day, you didn't have electronics. You just had paper charts, and I'd lay it down. The pen would start to roll, and my eyes wouldn't flinch on the patient, and the pen would. I'd see it falling, and I'd grab it midair, and I'd always catch it. And I never even looked towards it. It was just a reflex. So an athlete, when you can be in your brain deciding where you're going and what you want to accomplish and not be thinking about how to do that, then you're in this other, that's the zone.
Wow. Well, I love it. And we all certainly admire when you see an athlete that's
in peak
condition, how they can keep track of so many variables at the same time. I think in basketball, point guard, he can know where everybody is and look at you and pass the ball over there to that guy that's open. So incredible. Now, another group that may benefit from this sounds like the elderly or people that are wanting to avoid falling or maybe having coordination issues or maybe even may have some movement disorders like Parkinson's. Is that correct?
Sure.
These people?
Yeah. Yeah. So... So a lot of things affect brain. So mm-hmm. This is kind of where I look at a lot of cases because I specialize in neurodegenerative diseases. So you have to determine why is brain degenerating first. So you have two jobs. You have to wake it up, the brain, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what we were just referencing. But we also have to say, well, why is it breaking down? So of course, sometimes with age, you know, if you're 85 and you're getting some tremor, that's different. But if you're 62 and you're getting tremor, that's not normal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or if we're getting really forgetful, or so without getting too many details, there's a lot of pieces to that. So that's where things like brain inflammatory responses going on, sleep deprivation, lifestyle issues, cerebrovascular disease, what's circulation doing in brain, and
diet. I know you talk about diet and
yeah. When I say inflammation to brain, there's a reason why brain's inflaming, and there's really just a few reasons generally. In concept, there's either you have a gut-brain response, either that's a dysbiotic gut. Dysbiotic gut means a gut that's not processing well. It's just a general term, but that could be its own biome. It could be leaking. You could have infection, whatever. And it may not even be infection that you would identify. It could just be latent. Like, oh yeah, I was sick 2 years ago, but I feel like my gut is just not happy, but I'm not with a fever. I don't get nauseous. I don't throw up. I don't have, you know, big bowel symptoms. So you wouldn't even know that. It's just this biome that's now imbalanced and causes a drag on your system. And brain and gut are intimately connected. So the vagus nerve comes down, right? And it envelops the whole gut. But that's an extension of brain. So things they've now documented research that bacteria, viri, they can crawl right up that vagus nerve in the brain. You can have an immediate, because
from your gut.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with Alzheimer's, they're finding, you know, amyloid plaquing around, or even tau tangles around an E. coli and staph bacteria in brain. So the scar tissue's there because the immune system has been trying to deal with this bacteria or virus sitting there that's been causing parasitic, I'm sure it could be true as well. But I haven't seen parasitic studies, but I'm sure there's something out there on that. But essentially, anything that provokes inflammatory reactions in brain is not designed to handle chronic inflammation. it's got a generic system through the glial system. It's not fine-tuned like the rest of our body because it's behind a barrier that's supposed to protect it. But brain barriers break down. They do that through diabetes. Blood sugars bouncing up and down, brain barrier breaks. Alcohol breaks down brain barriers.
Right.
You can have a concussion or a minor TBI, traumatic brain injury. And within minutes, they've documented your brain barrier is now leaking. When it leaks, then we're now exposing our brain to things that can inflame it. And, you know, on goes the story that you suffer something.
They talk about leaky gut, but this is kind of like leaky brain. Because there is a thing called the blood-brain barrier, and you're saying all these things can affect or injure it, and so...
They're almost the same system. I mean, they're not anatomically the same system, but if you have a traumatic brain injury, your gut barrier is going to leak. You're going to get a leaky gut within minutes to hours.
Well, we've got to take a break right now, but stay tuned for our final segment with Dr. Ambridge.
You've kind of already started into the second topic I want to cover, which is the mental acuity aspect. So how do you help people be sharp? Because I know you've mentioned that about being in the zone, and how do you get yourself in the zone, even at work if you're not an athlete, but in the mental zone where you're finishing your projects, you're getting it done, you're able to deal with distractions as things come at you, you're not losing your temper over, you know, things that annoy you.
Yeah, and most of the time, I mean, I think there are just some basics that we should all be doing, which in our lifestyles sometimes get forgotten. So sleep is huge.
I read a great book on sleep, and I think we did a show with my brother on that, because he's a psychiatrist, on sleep. We totally underestimate sleep and everything from weight loss, like, you know, how many times if you're trying to lose weight, somebody asks you, well, how is your sleep? So sleep affects everything. Your ability to drive a car, they've shown if you're sleep deprived, it's worse than a drunk driver.
Anybody with a brain complaint, that's one of the first questions I'll ask them. And they may not have really poor sleep, but if they don't get sleep, we're not going to get the brain doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one of those non-negotiables. Okay. Now, some people have insomnia and sleep difficulties that they're, you know, somehow have sleep aids of some sort, whether that's over the counter or whether they're taking prescription medication. But there's a reason why this is all happening, okay? Mm-hmm. So brain doesn't just decide it doesn't want to sleep. It would like to, but there's other pieces, either emotional, or there might be PTSD, there may be inflammatory, and people, sometimes it takes years to get to that point when they couldn't trace what happened.
So that's one of the first things you assess.
So we mentioned, you know, but just generally people, you know, the audience listening, you know, sleeping well is big. So I always tell people, if you eat well, move well, think well, you'll be well. So that includes exercise, your structure moving well, you need to move well. Thinking well, if you're positive in your thinking and you work towards that and don't get caught up in the challenges of the day and get negative and
so
move
that direction.
So you recommend
watching the news at least 4 to 6 hours a day, right?
Yeah, keep it. Yeah, I never watched news for years and years and years. I watch a little bit now, but you know.
Well, I'm just saying because, you know, I
think
the anxiety,
the unrest.
And no matter which side you're on, you're angry. So it's just almost designed to.
Yeah, kind of... you know, where's that news channel that just talks about really great things that happen all the time, right? So those would be really fun to watch and listen to those. So, and I think there's some programming out there that's kind of like that, people doing amazing things, whether that's athletically or musically or whatever, right? You see people doing, and it's inspirational. Those are really powerful. So, and then eating well is big. So eating well is, you know, eating a whole diet, a whole food diet, you know, there's varieties of ways about that. But, you know, most people understand that, you know, a soda pop or, you know, carbonated drink diet is not healthy for us. Most people know that, you know, living off candy bars is not good for us, that kind of thing. So, you know, having a solid, good diet with real foods that are whole is a big deal. Now, sometimes we have reactions for a variety of reasons. And we may get sensitive to certain foods. And if that does happen, then we've got a problem with an immune reactivity, which brain is very sensitive to. So when it comes to mental acuity, I have to just assess and say, where are they at? Hopefully these people are on a good foundation already of eating, exercising, thinking well, and moving well, so that they already have a foundation to go with. A lot of people are very interested in being healthy now. I mean, the baby boomers are, they're not going to put up with being shut down, right? Baby boomers want to, they're going to work harder. They're going to pay more out of pocket to be well. They'll get a trainer. They'll get guidance from a nutritional coach, whatever. They're not going to accept no for an answer, which I applaud. Of course, I'm a baby boomer, right? Yeah. We'll see what the other generations do.
Well, and I think this, just a little small side, is the COVID thing, I think, to me, one of the biggest take-homes of this is also how do you, because 80% of people don't need hospitalization. And if I have my statistics right, I think about 35% don't even show any symptoms. So to me, the key is get yourself in that 35% by following all these healthy lifestyle things. So I think that's kind of heightened people to pay attention, because that's something you can do.
Get to control it, right? You get to make your choices, and then you get the benefit too, right?
Right. So and in our last little bit here, let's talk a little bit about so you mentioned the mental acuity, and I know, so just finishing up on that, I know there's certain treatments that you do, because I've gone to you, and that you've said, hey, well, this will help you, you know, with the mental acuity. So I just want to highlight that mm-hmm. there are things that you do to basically help people improve that.
Yeah, there are a lot of things, and of course, based on what that person's situation is, but there are some nutritional things that are very powerful. You know, getting circulation, having cardio, exercise is big. There are exercises people can do, and essentially we're waking up the brain. We're waking up parts of brain so they kind of get back on the train or on the horse, and they're doing their job at a speed that is appropriate. So sometimes people are in their memory. It's like, okay, where is that thing? Where's that word I'm looking for? But when that starts working again, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm not really thinking about that. It just is there in my brain, like you remember it. So those are all signs of a brain fatiguing. And another one I want to just mention is a brain fog. A lot mm-hmm. of people have brain fog. And I'm just going to tell the audience, if you've got brain fog, you need to figure that out. There are many reasons why you can have brain fog, but when you have brain fog, that means brain is suffering. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that going on for long periods of time, because suffering means you're losing brain cells, and it's a matter of time, and then you're not going to be in a functional state that you're going to really be happy about.
Yeah.
And there's ways to get out of that and bounce back.
Excellent. And I knew that was an area you dealt with. And that kind of leads into this third thing, learning disabilities. Children that are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to hear how you, because I know you've worked with a number of kids that I know. You've worked with them with some degree of success, which is really exciting.
Yeah, so what's fun with children is, one is they're a very dynamic system, right? They're mm-hmm. growing, they're making, their systems are developing, not deteriorating, okay? Kids go through a lot of things. Birth alone can be tough on a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So
what you've said has been very, very fascinating. If somebody's listening and they would like to get a hold of you and come see you, go ahead and give us your contact.
Well, I'm Dr. Ambridge, and you can look up on my website or my YouTube channel. It's North Idaho Chiropractic Neurology Center. And the number there is 208-946-5888. As Dr. Isbreski mentioned, I'm a naturopathic doctor as well, and that's True North Wellness Center is the name of that. But you're welcome to reach out by
website. One more time.
The website itself is backtohealthsr.com. That's the website. My YouTube channel, you could search just Dr. Ambridge, Forrest Blake Ambridge. And the office, or the practice name, is North Idaho Chiropractic Neurology Center.
Well, Dr. Ambridge, thank you so much for coming on. I think you've given us a lot of good little tips and info, and I think a lot of the listeners, you know, some of these conditions you never would have thought, you know, put the links together that there's help for them. Sometimes you just think, well, you know, little Johnny's a little slow, or he just is not as coordinated. But I think what I've learned from talking to you, some of these things are treatable and fixable, and you can get rid of little Johnny's, you know, delay, you know, by the treatment, or even your own. Like you said, if you feel your brain's in a fog and all this, you can kind of help treat that. And that's very exciting. That gives people hope.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
It's fun to be here.
Well, we are out of time. If you enjoyed today's interview, you can check it out on our YouTube channel, Dr. Soren Show, or drsorin.com, drsorin.com. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.